Hello and welcome. RoniZone Media and RoniZone.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roney from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show.
Hey everybody, this is the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Jeff Roney, and the other host that is adjusting her mic is...
Colleen Roney.
We welcome you here.
Yes, we do. So now we're going to go through some emails? Or what, what are we going to do? Emails or...
Yeah, we're going to read we're going to read some emails, and then I have a really cool... Let me talk about this first. I want to take this show worldwide.
Oh, yeah. That's a great idea.
So if you speak another language and can translate from English to another language, let me know.
Mm-hmm.
Because
send us an email.
Send us an email, oncepodcast@gmail.com. And I'll send you a little invitation, little blurb that I would like translated to a different language, because I want to get all the major languages and send them around to the Once Upon a Time podcast, or the Once Upon a Time fans,
mm-hmm.
That speak other languages. So so far I've gotten French and German.
Excellent.
I want to hit Italian and Spanish, and just I want to keep going.
Okay.
So more than likely, if you speak a different language, and mm-hmm. English and something else.
Yeah.
I'm interested
like
in
Japanese or
Chinese, whatever.
Yep. Tagalog.
Yep.
Any number of languages out there.
So
if anybody speaks Swahili, that'd be kind of cool too.
Okay. Other language is fine.
I've always thought that'd be fun to learn Swahili anyway. Yep.
Okay. So we're going to read our cool emails. And if you would, my dear, I have been talking for a while. So
yeah, I think you're drained a little bit there.
A little bit.
Okay. So, this is from Melini, and so she is wondering about Henry. So, we know that he read the book Mary Margaret gave him, and know that Snow and James' daughter Emma will save the kingdom, but the question is, how did he know where to find Emma, or even more puzzling to her is, how did he know that the Emma in the book is his birth mother? So, that's really what she was wondering if this had been answered, but it has not at this point in time. And yeah, that's a fascinating question, because you're right. I mean, how did he know that Emma was his mother until he started finding her? He didn't know. See, I guess I hope they kind of give us the backstory of Henry. I think that'd be really fascinating.
Okay. And they probably will, I would imagine. But I think finding her name was the big question, because he looked her up with that mommy find thing.
Yeah, find my mom or something crazy like that. Yep. But before that, what prompted him to think that he was her son?
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, because all he knew was Snow White, and he recognized probably Mary Margaret as Snow White. But then,
I'll put a little money on that. Probably Mr. Gold kind of nudged him in that direction.
That's possible. Wouldn't surprise me.
Do you know her? You know, her name is
here's
something.
The thing.
Maybe whatever.
Oh. Here's a thought. The last few pages of the book, we never saw those.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They were burned up in the fire.
Mm-hmm.
So what if in there? In that book, somewhere, it indicates that James's last name is Swan.
Hmm.
And then Henry, being a precocious kid, decided to try and find his birth mother because he knows that Regina is evil. And he must have figured she was the evil queen. So therefore, he had to have known that somebody had to be Emma.
Right.
And if Emma wasn't in Storybrooke because she had escaped, then he must have figured out to try and find her. And when he found her name was Emma Swan, he knew that was...
I still think Mr. Gold kind of nudged him.
And that's a very real possibility.
Because, I mean, obviously there's a lot of Emma Swan's, I would think, but maybe. He said, you know, maybe check Boston.
You never know.
So,
but okay. He went through the birth mother finder, the website, wouldn't have known to go to Boston.
Okay.
I don't think. I don't know if Mr. Gold would have even known, because remember, he was kind of like pleased when she showed up. You know what I mean? He was fascinated by when she showed up. So anyway.
Okay. I'll read one. We'll kind of go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So this one is from Rachel. Hi, my name is Rachel from Ohio. I have finally caught up on all the podcasts you have posted on the site. So first off, I want to say that I love listening to all the theories about the show and how it might possibly go. I can't wait to hear more. I also want to say that I admire the relationship you guys have on the air. I wish my husband could express his thoughts as well as you. Well, thank you. And sometimes I don't express my thoughts very well, but
that
I try.
Is true. That okay. is true.
The main purpose I'm writing for you is to tell you that you might want to look at the iTunes post, because I started listening in iTunes, but the sound would cut out completely about halfway through the show. I checked my settings and tried to reload the page, but it still cut out. I don't know if this is happening to others. I just thought that you should be aware and possibly check with iTunes to inform them of the issue. If you have time, I would greatly appreciate a quick reply to let me know if this is just something I alone am experiencing or if others are as well. One last note, I plan on rewatching some of the episodes before Sunday, so I might have a theory of my own to comment about. So you might just hear from me again as well. Great podcast. Keep doing what you do. Sincerely, Rachel. And thank you. And we're looking forward to any theories that you come up with. And I did want to say this. If we could kind of, I used to kind of do customer support training stuff. Mm-hmm. So if you could tell me which iTunes episodes cut off in the middle, that might be helpful, because I listened to 7 and 8.
And they were fine?
And they were fine. They played all the way through in iTunes.
So maybe some of the earlier ones, maybe?
Possibly. And I just... Mm-hmm. So please let me know. Email, tweet, whatever. Just please let me know. Mm-hmm. And then we'll go from there. But I really, really appreciate you letting me know, Rachel.
Yeah. Thanks. And if anybody else is experiencing those issues or has heard of the same thing happening to somebody else, by all means, let us know.
Yeah, I asked a pro and he said, don't know. So, but anyway, somebody else might know.
You never know.
Yeah, let us know.
You just never know.
Thank you.
Oh, you want me to read the next one? Okay. Okay, this one's from Obie's Girl. And she says, I had a thought about the evil fairy dust Snow White carried with her in Snow Falls and who she could have possibly gotten it from. Well, we've only met one evil fairy in the show so far, and that evil fairy is Maleficent. I know Maleficent and the Evil Queen are friends, but Snow White could not have met her, and Maleficent decided that Snow White wasn't as big a threat as the Evil Queen made her out and gave her the fairy dust to protect herself. Oh, she could have met her. No, sorry, I messed that up. Anyway, so in other words, Snow White could have met Maleficent, and then Maleficent figured she wasn't nearly as big of a threat as Evil Queen made her out to be, and then she gave her the fairy dust to protect herself. Or Snow White could have found out about the magic fairy dust from someone, maybe Rumple, since all the stories seem to lead back to him anyway. That is true. And Snow went on a mission to steal it from Maleficent. Plus, when we first saw Maleficent in episode 2, she didn't seem that threatened by even the mention of Snow White. And we know the Evil Queen has this habit of making a big deal of things bigger than they should be, and it's all about the theatrics. I can't wait for Once Upon a Time to come back and listen again to the show. Thanks, Obie's Girl. And yes, I agree. I mean, yeah, if it came from an evil fairy, the only one we know of at this point is Maleficent.
Right.
Unless there's another one we're not thinking of. But that's the only one I can think of. And, that does make sense. That maybe she did somehow meet her, or she got it from her. Or, like she said, her other possible option is Rumple, somehow. He's the mm-hmm. producer of all kinds of things.
And, yeah, I totally agree. The one thing I really wanted to say here is this podcast is only really half of the experience, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
The blog is the other half. So if you go to A Closer Look, OUAT.RoneyZone.com, that's the blog part. And that has all the screen captures and fantastic comments. I can't tell you how good the comments are. Plus, also following on Twitter and going to our Facebook fan page. There's just some great stuff in all the other places. So it's kind of hard to replicate it all here. I mean, we definitely read the great emails and we play the voicemails. But the comments on the blog are just this total other great place. We've been talking about the boarded up library and all this. And oh my gosh. So there's really great stuff there. So
cool.
All right. I will read another one from Obi's Girl here. Hello, Jeff. I think somewhere, sometime in the fairy tale world, Prince Charming made a deal with Rumpel. I have two theories on what that deal might be. The first one, getting out of his engagement, with whiny, what was her name? Abigail.
Yeah.
Abigail. King George threatened him. If he doesn't go through with the marriage, he would kill his mother, burn up his farm, and all that. And yet somehow he was able to marry Snow White in the pilot. I think Prince Charming made a deal with Rumpel to free him of the obligation to marry Whiny. She's called her Whiny. That's funny. So he could pursue Snow White. But what was it? I think Rumpel made Prince Charming promise. If something ever bad happened in the future with the Wicked Queen and Snow White, and Snow White demanded to see Rumpel, Prince Charming could not refuse her request and in exchange let Rumpel ask of her whatever he wanted. In this case, it was the name of her unborn child. Or Prince Charming found out the location of Snow White's coffin in the pilot from Rumpel because the Wicked Queen sure isn't going to tell him. Or if the Wicked Queen did tell him, it was because she didn't know the curse could be broken with a kiss. Also about Rumpel, I've heard you guys say that maybe he can time travel, teleport from place to place, or see the future. I know Rumpel is more powerful and manipulative than the Queen, but I don't like him becoming too OP. I don't know what that is.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. Time travel and teleportation can be especially tricky on TV, i.e. Hiro Nakamura from Heroes. Got it. And as creepy as Rumpel is, I don't want him to become too much of a problem that the writers kill him off. He's creepy, manipulative, sinister. I like him and don't want him to die too early. I listened to the latest episode and wow, I did not catch that the girl charming bio mom wanted to match him with was the Miller's daughter. But if they were matched, and presumably she had never met him, there's no reason for her to throw a fit about not marrying him. There's a deeper rift between Snow White, the evil queen, than she stole her man. That would be just petty and make it like a soap opera, which I watch daily. And I don't like my genres mixing like that. I don't blame you. But I'm totally convinced that Regina is the Miller's daughter from Rumpel's story, but I thought of something else more interesting. I know we haven't seen Rumpel's backstory yet, even though it's definitely coming soon. But what if she was Rumpel's wife before he became Rumpelstiltskin? Because there is definitely a history there between them from their scene together in Rumpel's cell in episode 2, the thing that you love most. Also, I was thinking that the caller's theory that Red Riding Hood's granny and Ruth were somehow related, maybe sisters, if that were true, then that would mean that Red Riding Hood / Ruby and the Charming and David are her cousins. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that I like that idea. That's all my theories for now. Obi's Girl. Okay. Lots of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of stuff there.
Yes.
But great theories about the location of Snow White's coffin and all that. Mm-hmm. So,
because you could go down either path. I mean, if the Queen told him, then you know she would have told him, thinking, "I want you to suffer like I have,
right.
So you're going to see her, you know, dead." And if she didn't tell him, and if it was Rumpelstiltskin that told him, then that's just extra control he's got on him.
Well, I I think that was the first thing I brought up early on. I think at the end of the episode is, where was Prince Charming coming from
when
he rode out to the coffin?
Yeah, we don't know.
And, you know, those are really solid theories she's got, is maybe he dealt his way out of the marriage.
Yeah, that's
to be with Snow White, and as maybe a token, said, okay, one more thing. Where is the coffin? Or maybe he knew.
Yeah, maybe.
Like Obi's girl had brought up.
Yeah.
But yeah, lots of things to think about, but we read the letter, so.
Yeah, no, I think there's definitely some good, information there. And here's just another little thing, tidbit I'm going to throw out there. We're assuming he got out of the marriage to Abigail. What if she's the one who got out of it?
Well, and that's actually a valid point. And I didn't catch it until I watched it again because she leaned over, or she actually looked at her father and said, well, you know best, right father?
She didn't want to marry him.
Right.
So interestingly enough, I wonder if she actually had someone else in mind that she wanted to marry. Just a thought.
Yep.
Just some little things to think about.
You know,
so maybe our listeners can come up with some interesting theories from that.
Well, the more we talk about it, the deeper this gets. So, anyway. Yep.
Okay.
Excellent.
We have an email from Helga, and she says, my initial thoughts while I listen, my apologies if I'm being redundant, these notes are stream of conscious while I listen. So please forgive me, but you guys are the only people I can talk to about this. I'm crazy excited for this show. So number one, Emma's necklace. On her Twitter, Jennifer Morrison said the necklace was a representation of a swan in captivity. That being said, are we talking about the swan maiden? And I think we've talked about a little bit, swan princess. That's kind of come up a little bit. So that's a very viable theory. Rumpy and Gold knows. I also do not think that Regina is aware of who Emma really is. In the same instance, I do not think she has any idea about Henry either. I think all she wanted was someone to love her unconditionally, and Rumpel's a baby broker and was able to make that happen, and knows that is what needs to happen to fulfill his prophecy and start the big battle. Right?
Right.
So she would have brokered, he would have brokered the deal because he knows that had to happen. Because how else do you get Emma, who's lost out in the, you know, the world, back where she needs to be? Interesting. Number three, the curse. It is stated that the curse requires a sacrifice. She states that she killed her prized steed. The requirement was to kill who or what she loves the most. So my two cents, Daddy Dearest had to die. And that is true. And that's exactly what happened. But the funny thing is that she said she loved him the most, but I think there's something else she loved more than Daddy who was not there.
Right.
And it comes back to the two theories we have. One is a lover, husband, boyfriend, whatever. The other is a child.
Right.
So
now,
it'll be interesting to see how that pans out.
Another thing to say is this show has more hearts than I know what to do with. Now, we've seen animal hearts, but the heart that she had for her father looked like
a real heart.
A real heart. And not the heart that we saw down in the heart vault.
Right. And what we talked about at one point in time, I believe not too long ago, was the fact that she killed Daddy, took his heart.
Right.
And it was a real heart.
Right.
She took the huntsman's heart, but he didn't die. So did she really take his heart? Because heart has different meaning.
Right.
I mean, we know that there's a, you know, blood pumping organ inside your
chest. Maybe it's a life source. So, I mean, yeah, we talked about that. So
that's
But I just want to point that out. So
yeah, it's all about heart, but then isn't life all about heart?
Right.
Anyway, let's see. Number four, the thing you love most. I'm pretty sure that the conversation with Maleficent leads to clues about what Snow took. There's an implication that Snow and Evil Queen are about the same age. Yeah, there's a little bit of that. And I've kind of wondered about that. At first, I was like, okay, in the real fairy tale, this was her stepmother. But then I was like, Regina would have had no problem marrying someone much older than herself. So, anyway. And it is interesting. And I'm trying to think back about the conversation with Maleficent. I don't remember much about their conversation. I think I'm really focused on what happened afterwards. So, maybe I'll go back and watch that again. Number five, the book. When Henry showed the book to Graham, it showed a picture of the crypt that houses the heart vault. If Emma were to see this page in the book, would she realize the match and become a believer? Ooh. That's interesting. She says, okay, that's all for now. I'm sure I'll have lots to say later. Take care. But interesting because, yeah, you know, I mean, Emma didn't really look through the book, did she? As far as we know. She...
Just the last few pages. Now...
And did she read all of them or did she just see them? Because I don't think she read through them. I don't think she figured out that the last page has who she is on it. That's just me.
Well, she said, you're right, it's dangerous.
And- mm-hmm. But she could have been placating him. That's my thinking. Okay. Because remember, she had just talked to Regina and said that, you know, well, of course it's all crazy. That's when Henry heard it and she had to go chase him down at Archie's. And that's why she said, you know, let's destroy the book. You're right. They're dangerous. She could have been trying to placate him so he wouldn't hate her. Mm-hmm. Just my thought.
This is what I think is that when Graham kissed Emma for what turned out to be the last time, that when Graham remembered fully who he was,
right.
I think, and I don't think I've brought this up on the show, is that Emma began to believe.
Hmm.
Because the wall finally came down enough to let love in, but also hope and who she really is.
Mm-hmm.
And once he died, I think she kind of shrunk back and said, no, you know, but I think there for a minute, started to believe.
It's possible because, I mean, she saw too much evidence of what, you know, the fact that Graham was being kind of crazy and that, you know, the wolf and stuff, the fact that she was like, there are no wolves. And all of a sudden, whoa, there's one right there. You know, I mean, yeah, I think she probably did start to believe. I think she wanted to believe. I think she wanted to, you know, have the fairy tale.
Yep.
And then, unfortunately, that just kind of didn't happen.
So, all right. This is from
Sheriff Graham already.
Yeah, I know. He will return, I have a feeling.
I'm sure he will.
Here is one from Malini. Hi, Jeff and Colleen. I have another OUHE theory. I love how this show is making me think. Here it goes. Since the hiatus began, and I've been on break as well, I found myself watching the episodes frequently, and today I watch episodes 1 through 5. I know that there is a theory going around that Fairy Tale Land could be under Storybrooke because we saw part of Snow White's coffin in episode 5. But I was thinking, do you think it's a possibility that Storybrooke is the new Fairy Tale Land, or it's a transformed Fairy Tale Land? This entered my mind because the woods is the same one for both Fairy Tale Land and Storybrooke. We also assume that the toll bridge is used as a troll bridge. Also, Henry's castle playground surrounded by water and is in the Storybrooke. The play castle is by the beach. So I was thinking there could be something there. I'm still trying to look at other episodes to see what things or which places could be transformations from fairy tale land. But I guess you get the picture. With regards to the hatch tunnel or whatever you want to call it, it's possible that its purpose is similar to a basement or a stock room, a place where unwanted things clutter but are kept. Maybe that's where Regina placed all the things she didn't want people to see or discover. On a side note, I heard a lot of people criticizing Leroy's statement in episode 3 about where the door that David exited was leading to. He said the woods. A lot of people were saying that how can a hospital door lead to the woods? I think that the door where Mary Margaret and David exited when they went for their walk in episode 5. I think that was the door. Okay. We can clearly see the woods from where they were standing. I guess that's what Leroy meant when he said the woods. Let me know what you think. I've also been listening to your earlier podcasts again, and I'm really enjoying them. Can't wait to hear more. I saw something about a surprise interview today on Twitter. Awesome. I'm very excited for that. Keep up the great work. Thanks, Malini.
Hey there, check this. There's a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is oncepodcast@gmail.com. Our blog web address is at aclosereloukouat.ronizone.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, there's two interviews we're setting up, and both have connections to Once Upon a Time, and they're really cool because it's different. But once we really get into them, you're going to say, "Wow, that's mm-hmm. yeah." So at least one of them was a team effort. So
yeah,
I got to give a shout out to my unspoken team member who helped out, but all will be revealed soon. So yeah, I think you're on the right track with the idea that, you know, possibly that Storybrooke is a fairy tale land. And initially I remember me saying that as the curse is broken, maybe more is revealed. And I think the sinkhole maybe is kind of, you know, leading down there.
Poking a hole in the fabric.
But so there's two ways that you could go about this, is say that, okay, it's on top or it is what it is. And so, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know, at Disneyland, when they turn on the switch and you see the snow on the castle, it kind of appears. And so it's almost like, you know, maybe that farther and farther and farther into the breaking down of the dark curse that things change. And yeah, I mean, it could be that's where the castle is and that's where the forest is and that's where.
Right.
So,
and maybe it is one of those things where it's like, you know, illusional, optical illusion kind of a thing. You know how people, when they, you've seen it in stories and stuff where they realize something has been in front of them the whole entire time,
mm-hmm.
but it looks different.
Right.
And once they're open to it, or once they're whatever, that's when it reveals itself to be the true whatever it is. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that I agree, and I think it's interesting because I think the placement, if we were to map it out, probably would line up very closely with what she's saying. Mm-hmm. You know, like the castle in fairy tale world should line up in the same spot essentially. Yeah. So, but an interesting. The only reason I think we thought it was right above was because of the whole sinkhole thing.
Right.
But it was a mine shaft, which means seven dwarves. Right?
Yep.
Seven dwarves, they went to the mine. They mm-hmm. worked, they were miners. So I kind of think that maybe she's right. And I think you're also right, is that we're, you know, as we start to see things, you know, peeling away, it's kind of like somebody laid a blanket over, and so we're uncovering the. It's not like we're moving somewhere. It's literally already. It's always been there. It's just a matter of peeling away the layers.
It'll be interesting to see if at some point, similar to the point where the boarded up library is, that there's a huge sundial in Fairy Tale Land or something.
Mm, yeah, interesting.
It'd be very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like on a corner, street corner or something, and like there's covered up and somebody, you know, well what's up there?
Could have been a clock tower because remember Cinderella had a clock tower.
Okay. Yeah.
That could be Cinderella's clock tower.
Okay, so hold on. The hatch tunnel, yep, it could be kind of where she tosses things down. And
yeah, maybe.
I kept thinking that things that were from Fairy Tale Land may have power to reveal who they are. But it seems like only the wolf does, because Emma had her blanket and she did not believe.
Right.
And I'm fairly certain that it's the same one from Fairy Tale Land.
So I put money on
then
that.
We had pieces of the Snow White's coffin.
Right.
That Henry still has one in his backpack. and Regina toss the other one down, though.
Right. Interesting.
So I think that's going to come into play, too.
Yeah, that will come up later. It will resurface later.
So, the door to the woods, I think you're right. I think semantics are very important there. As long as it gets to the woods, that's the important thing.
Yeah.
You know.
Because, it's not like you open the door and there's woods right there. I'm sure that it's probably the most direct path to the woods.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yep.
You can't take things too literally.
No. Nope. Beware of forums, too.
Okay. Yeah. Here we have one from a listener who says, listening to your podcast, I just found it over the holidays and I'm enjoying it. As for Mr. Gold's limp, when the Miller's daughter guesses Rumpelstiltskin's name, he gets upset and he grabbed his leg and pulled so hard it came off. Just a thought. So that's actually from the real Rumpelstiltskin fairy tale. Yep. And that would make total sense.
Yeah. Sometimes they throw in Bible stuff here and there. That's me.
No, I know.
Okay. So George emailed and said, just listen to your podcast from today where you mentioned that the Man from Tallahassee episode of Lost was about Sawyer. That is incorrect. The Man from Tallahassee episode was about Locke and his father. It is the episode where Locke gets pushed out of the window and gets paralyzed, and also where Locke's father appears on the island from the magic box. Mm. So the whole Tallahassee reference might refer to Locke's father instead of Sawyer. In either case, I know that we will ultimately learn what the Tallahassee reference means in Once Upon a Time. Keep up the good work, George. And thank you very much. And you are absolutely right.
Yep.
So
yes, that is true.
I am human. I got excited.
But you know what it is? Is because of the fact that Sawyer mentioned it one time, and I think that's where good gravy. How long has it been since we've watched any Lost episodes?
Well, that's true. But no. See, and again, it keeps us on our toes. Helps us out.
Right. And the fact is, it's fantastic that we have listeners who clearly love Lost, probably more than we did.
Yep.
And we really loved it a lot. So.
Yep. Okay. Anyway. Very good.
All right. This one is from Lisa. And she says, Happy New Year and thank you for your awesome podcast. I've tried out some other Once Upon a Time podcast, but yours is the only one I subscribe to. Thank you for all you do for the show and the fans. Well, you're very welcome. After listening to the Feedback and Theory cast you posted on 12/23, I believe that was it, when you were talking about Henry's book, I had a theory. Since the show is altering these stories in subtle and sometimes not so subtle ways, what if the book was written by the Grimms? Perhaps in fairy tale world, they were authors, perhaps owned a bookshop. In Storybrooke, maybe they once oversaw the library, then crossed Regina so she got rid of them. Lastly, while I'm quickly getting hooked on OUAT, I have a small hesitation, the tide of Lost. I was a Lost fan, stuck with it, etc. Only to be one of the minority, it seems, that was incredibly disappointed with the series finale. So while I'm very close to giving OUAT my heart and soul, just as I have to Fringe, I do not want it ripped out later. Thanks again for all you do. Have a great day. Thank you, Lisa. And by the way, you are not the only one that was incredibly disappointed with the series finale. I'm just going to throw that out there right now. I still lament the last show. Because I think there were so many directions they could have gone with that. And it really kind of cheesed me off that they ended it the way they did. So I feel your pain. I do. I tried Fringe. It scared me. I couldn't get into Fringe. I did. I tried watching one episode and it scared the living daylights out of me. And I thought, I don't know if I can do this. Maybe I'll come back to it later. But anyway, so going back to the theory. Wow. I love the theory that it might be the Grimms.
Mm-hmm.
And I also like the theory that they ran the library or owned the bookshop in fairy tale world. And then they maybe oversaw the library and then crossed Regina.
Yep.
That's a fantastic theory. Because we've been trying to figure out, the funny thing is, that would make total sense.
And the woman that sweeps the sidewalk probably works for the Grimms.
Maybe.
And she's so rude. She doesn't say anything. I mean, Emma and Henry walk by. She doesn't say hello. She just keeps sweeping.
Well, and here's the funny thing. How do we know that they're not still in the library?
Well,
Just because it's boarded up doesn't mean nobody's in there.
True.
I'm not saying that. I'm just throwing it out there as a possibility.
You think I'm nuts. There's a light on in the second floor.
Oh, well, offices
I'll get you a screen cap.
Nope, I believe you. I totally believe you. And it wouldn't surprise me if it's like somebody's little apartment or...
No. You know, I don't think there's just a library on the bottom floor.
Right. But I'm saying if it's a single story library or bookstore, library.
No, it's library.
If it's a single story library, which...
No. I'm telling you, there's somebody up there.
Right. But what I'm saying is it could be that somebody's in the library or somebody lives above the library.
Okay.
And who would live above the library?
Right.
I do like the Brothers Grimm. I think that's a fascinating... Because, yeah, maybe that'd be fun to see who they are.
It's Belle someone?
I don't know. Could be Belle.
All right. So I have an email from Sharon. Hello. I follow your tweets and your podcast. You both are doing a terrific job, to say the least. Well, I am not sure if you've covered this or not, but ever since the fairy tale people were sent into our world, that the queen put them into a deep sleep so their past is wiped out from their memories. Also, I think that Storybrooke is an isolated, make-believe city that no one from the outside world of Storybrooke even knows about. Hence the reason that there is never any visitors from the outside world. It's like she has a protective shield around the city. That is my theory. You are awesome. Keep up the great work. Thank you, Sharon.
Yes, thank you. And I agree. I haven't seen the movie, but I've heard that it's a similar situation to The Village.
I started watching the first couple of minutes of it.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen the whole movie.
Did
so
it scare
please
you?
Do not, you know, whatever. But I noticed that there's a border, mm-hmm. and they're very concerned about the other people outside, mm-hmm. and all that kind of thing. So
did it scare you?
Well, you know, some of the parts were kind of weird. But but no, so but I agree. I think that there it reminds me a bit of The Village, but a lot of Lost, in that it to get out, it's almost like you have to have a special key. You know, only certain people in a certain way can get
right.
out.
And the island never showed up on maps and had the ability to move locations. So interesting. Yeah, I totally agree. I absolutely agree. I believe firmly that you wouldn't find Storybrooke on a map.
Right.
I don't think you would be able to get to it unless you knew how to get to it.
Yeah.
That's just a theory. And maybe you have to have a special connection with someone there to get there.
Well, you know, and then my question is, I think I may have asked here before on the show, is that did everybody come over to Storybrooke at the same time? Or were certain people sent at certain mm-hmm. moments mm-hmm. for whatever reason? So
we don't know.
Anyway.
We don't know.
Okay. And the last one actually has a connection to Sharon's email.
Oh, excellent.
Hi there. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. Check out my voice acting services at mediavoiceovers.com. Thanks for listening, and now back to the show.
So this is from Rick from Ontario, Canada. Love our Canadian friends.
Yes, we do.
Hello, Rick. And friends from all over the world, actually. We love everybody the same.
Not just Canada.
Chile and Turkey and
Brazil.
Brazil, everywhere. So I don't know if you are watchers of the show Haven. A quick Google showed few people discussing the similarities between Haven and OUAT. In both shows, a kick-butt woman, that's his quote here, folks, mm-hmm. Comes to a small main town and gets deputized. But women help the townsfolk deal with their own curse. Oh, both women help the townsfolk deal with their own curse, or troubles, as it's called in Haven. Mm-hmm. The heroines each have history with the towns. Emma as Snow White's daughter, and Audrey has been in Haven in the past with a different name when the troubles were there before. The difference is that a few people in Storybrooke know about the curse. Everyone in Haven knows about the troubles. Haven even has newspaper reporters putting spin on the strange happenings and a guy who cleans up the mess after someone's trouble manifests. Each show is filmed on opposite coasts of Canada, British Columbia, Nova Scotia, Rick, Ontario, Canada. And I look, I'm going to throw my cards on the table. I figured, you know, if we've been reviewed, let's be completely reviewed. I did not know where certain parts of Canada were. I thought that Vancouver was on the East Coast.
Yes.
But my wife is the smart one.
Well, honey, okay, for starters, geography has always been one of my favorite subjects. Yep. And secondly, I was a travel agent for 3 years. So, Okay. Yeah, I have to know where these places are.
So I found, happily,
yes,
that Vancouver is in the same time zone as California.
Yes, it is.
That will come into play in a few shows, just saying.
Yeah.
So, that was cool. But Nova Scotia is on the other
far east side. Coast.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. It's so right above Maine.
All right.
It's its own country, by the way, technically.
Maine.
It's actually, I take that back. I don't know if it's its own country, but it is a province. It's a whole province. It's a very tiny one, though.
Let's not get ourselves in trouble here.
Actually,
it's in Canada.
You know what? I made the mistake. Newfoundland is its own country, which is also up in that same area.
Yeah.
But Nova Scotia is a province of Canada. And it's a wonderful place. Here's a little tidbit. My dad and his brother and his parents went to Nova Scotia almost every summer when he was a kid.
And your grandfather was who?
He was Bartlett Robinson.
And Bartlett Robinson would be known by most fans of The Twilight Zone for
the episode To Serve Man.
He played who?
The colonel. The general. The colonel. I think it was the colonel. He was the guy who was in the military who, when they were decoding the name of the book, he was the one who actually read the name of the book.
Mm-hmm.
He held on to it, and he held the scrap of paper in his hand and read the book name.
Now, we love Once Upon a Time.
We do.
But here's a fun thing to do. Find, watch To Serve Man. Figure out who Bartlett Robinson is.
Yep.
And then, see, it was easier before when TV Land used to show, wait for it, TV shows.
Yeah.
Back from the 50s.
Yeah.
Because your grandfather was a character actor that played in all kinds of shows. And yes, it's so funny. We'd walk in a room and you go, oh, there's Granddad.
Yep.
And I look at it, yeah, there he is again. I mean, he has the most distinctive voice.
Very much so.
You know, and so does your father.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But it's very, very cool.
And my dad looks a lot like him.
Except he doesn't have a mustache.
No.
Your dad had a mustache. Your grandfather had a mustache.
My grandfather had a mustache.
Yeah. Anyway, just a little. Okay. So let's come back. We saw one episode of Haven.
We did.
And
it was pretty entertaining,
actually. It reminded me of a little bit of Once Upon a Time, but it reminded me a lot of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Because this woman is there and all of a sudden something bad happens.
Right.
So, I mean, Doctor Who is always kind of drawn to these kind of problems or problems happen where he's at. And
which, by the way, we are Doctor Who fans.
Oh, yeah.
Just in case anybody wants to know about that.
But only the newest iteration with Matt Smith.
Yeah.
So. But no, it was fun. It was a fun show. It was very interesting, and it was it reminded me a little of we watched the Christmas episode of Haven, and it reminded me a lot of Once Upon a Time because I said they're in a snow globe. I ruined it for some people that never seen it. But I said, so it's like Once Upon a Time because they're in this thing and they can't get out.
They don't
know.
This
is the walled thing.
They don't know.
Yeah. And so, honestly, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
So, but thank you, Rick. I mean, I've never heard of that show.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of it either until you said, hey, we got to check this show out. And so we did. It's on Sci-Fi Channel.
Yep.
And it's actually, I was kind of entertained by it.
Mm-hmm.
I really was. And there's one of the guys in that show who he's played some fun characters in other movies. If you've ever seen Secondhand Lines, he had a very, very tiny little part at the end. And he's been in a couple of other movies. He plays these different characters. It's really funny. He's actually a pretty good actor.
Yep.
I liked it. I thought it was good.
So So yeah, Haven's cool. It's different. Yeah. And it was a little bit of X-Filesy, a little bit of Doctor Who, and a little bit of Once Upon a Time. Yeah. Yep.
So if you like Once Upon a Time, you might, and maybe Doctor Who, you might actually be interested in catching Haven.
Well, what I'm finding is the people that love listening to our show, and which we really appreciate it, love the show a lot. Love the Once Upon a Time a lot.
They do.
And it's funny, you know, you watch the tweets, watching it again, watching episode two again, and it's just, yeah, it's repeat watchers.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really cool. So that's it. We want to end this now, and it's an hour and 5 minutes, 6 minutes.
Okay.
So anyway, we had to get the first part out of the way.
I thought we had a voicemail. Did we or not?
Oh, we got some voicemails, but
we'll save those for another time.
Yeah, we'll tack them on the next one. Some of them will be referring to past things, but yeah, I knew we had a lot of emails.
Well, so. And part of that is because unfortunately we did the podcast 101.
Yep. Well, like I said, so the final thing is. I want Ruby, Red Riding Hood, Megan Ory. My wish is for her to call this show. I would like for her to call and leave a voicemail. I promise to watch Sanctuary. I promise, to learn everything about Canada, where things are.
Hey. I read one of her tweet posts today that she actually has written a book. It's not finished yet. It's still in the something or other stage, but it's coming out soon.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Another thing to love about Megan Ory.
Right. Well, see, she should be on the podcast because we will promote her book too.
That is true.
So
yeah,
the book agent for Megan, please contact me and we will set up an interview and she can discuss her book and Once Upon a Time a little bit. So, Megan, listen to me. This is Jeff Roney and my lovely wife. I am not a weirdo. I am married and we love Once Upon a Time.
Yes, we do.
We have a voicemail because I know that your agent won't let you just be interviewed without permission. And I understand that. So, Megan, go get a pen and some paper. I'll wait. The voicemail line is, are you ready, Megan? 657-333-0626. That number again, Megan, is 657-333-0626. Now, Megan, just to let you know, Mig Makaria, you may have heard of him.
She has heard of him. I'm quite confident.
And Jeffrey Kaiser.
Yes.
And a number of other
Faustino, gentlemen. Michael.
Faustino and Michael.
Michael Coleman, yeah.
Yep. A few of the gentlemen that also work on your wonderful show, Once Upon a Time, have called in as well.
They have,
indeed. So I wanted to extend the invitation to you, Megan, to leave a voicemail for the fans of Once Upon a Time and maybe a few Sanctuary fans here and there.
Yeah, I think there are some among our listeners.
Call in. Say hello.
And I'm pretty sure that there's a number of the gentlemen that listen to our show.
Oh, yeah.
That would really like to hear from
Megan. So here's the thing, Megan. If you're a little bit shy, just next time you're filming something with Emma or with Jennifer Morrison or with Jennifer Goodwin, just kind of saddle up next to them, Just call the number and just pass the phone back and forth. Don't be shy. Don't be nervous. Just, say, hi, this is Megan. We really love the fans, Thanks so much. And here's Jennifer, And then we'll guess which one it is. Is it Morrison? Is it Goodwin? It could be a fun game. Megan, I'm telling you.
I think we could tell because most people, I think, call her Ginny instead of Jennifer
Goodwin. All right.
But anyway.
Okay.
Bottom line is, if you're going to plug this for Megan, then I need to do the same for Jamie Dornan or Josh Dallas, actually. Either one would be fine.
Let's pick one. Let's not get...
No. Hey,
Okay.
If Sheriff Graham is,
all right,
quote unquote, dead.
Okay. Well, he has a little time then to call into the voicemail.
Exactly.
From the netherworld.
You know, Josh could call in too.
That's fine.
Because, you know.
I think Josh is.
Team Prince Charming.
That's true. Okay. So, well, go ahead. Just call it out.
Oh, I don't need to beg.
All right. Fair enough. So, here's the bottom line. Megan and Josh and Jamie.
And Jamie.
We love you guys, not in a weird way, but we love you guys and we love the show. And our voicemail is there for you. The fans listen to this show. And I'm telling you, the fans have been crazy. This break has just broke them. They're just nuts. So
people are counting down. I think some people are counting the hours, yeah, literally.
Yeah. I know a few follow me on Twitter are counting the hours down. I know. I will not name names, but I know who they are. They have a big thing on the wall with paper, and they're marking off hours. So anyway, give us a call. Let us know. You know, just say hi to the fans, and maybe just say, you know, look, the Red Riding Hood origin story is coming. You know, Ruby Watch was pretty funny, Jeff. Ha ha. You know, something like that. But Josh, you shouldn't say that because I don't know. How would you know? Anyway, so that's it.
And yeah.
Okay. Okay. So a big love to all the fans that of the show and the listeners of this podcast. Big hugs to you. Mm-hmm. I'm better now, but I had to kind of sort some things out there.
Yeah, we had to purge a little.
So anyway, that's it.
Sounds like,
and we will talk to you soon. And remember I said about the deputies and iTunes, and check out the blog and comments and all that. It's great stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
See ya.